The New Women is basically about women taking over the world.
Trembling Before God is a feature-length documentary about Hasidim and Orthodox Jews who are lesbian or gay.
This is a queer buddy movie. The two main characters are definitely very gender-fluid.
The film's about a comedian who's chubby who comes out to his friends.
The film is a love and friendship story between a gay guy who falls in love with a woman and they share one lover.
I've been coming to Outfest for about 3 years now, and I think this is the best year so far.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. International protests denounce arrests in India and Egypt, a Lutheran study sparks civil disobedience, and scenes from Outfest reflect cinematic celebrations around the world. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Dean Elzinga.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the gay and lesbian community for the week ending August 18th, 2001. Four AIDS activists arrested in the Indian city of Lucknow about 6 weeks ago were finally freed on bail this week. The men work for the AIDS groups NAS Foundation International and Barossa Trust. In the wake of a police sweep in a park that netted two AIDS outreach workers, police raided both groups' offices on July 7th, closed them down, and arrested two more key staff. The charges pending against the men include possession of obscene materials and conspiracy to commit sodomy. This week, several groups held a sit-in at India's capital in New Delhi to demand that those charges be dropped and India's colonial-era sodomy law, Section 377, be repealed. Last week, 26 organizations demonstrated in Bangalore, and further actions are planned in other cities. International human rights groups have also denounced the arrest, with IGLHRC, the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, leading a letter-writing campaign.
International protest is the only hope, human rights groups on five continents agree, for 52 men arrested in a May raid on a riverboat club in Egypt. Human rights groups there have stood aside in fear for their own credibility. As a second day of trial was held under heavy police guard in Cairo this week, protest actions were staged in Antwerp, Bucharest, Geneva, London, Manila, Stockholm, and four U.S. cities. The Egyptian government was reportedly overwhelmed with phone calls and faxes, and it shut down its email addresses, which had been published by IGLHRC. Also, 35 U.S. Congress members, led by openly gay Massachusetts Democrat Barney Frank, have written to the Egyptian government in protest. The 52 arrestees could face up to 3 years in prison if convicted of practicing debauchery, and there is no appeal from decisions by the National Security Court where the trial is being held. This week's hearing was largely devoted to defense requests to reduce the charges to misdemeanors and move the cases to the regular courts. Prosecutors presented nearly 900 photos allegedly showing the defendants engaging in sex. Trial was adjourned until August 29th, when further protest demonstrations are planned.
In the U.S., 48 people were arrested this week in a civil disobedience action protesting the unequal treatment of gays and lesbians in the 5-million-member Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. ELCA was holding its General Assembly in Indianapolis, where, rather than deciding such hot-button issues as blessing same-gender relationships and ordaining non-celibate gays and lesbians, the denomination voted by a 9-to-1 margin to spend the next 4 years studying its gay-related policies. While some hailed the study plans as unprecedented, the study was just a delaying action in the eyes of activists, both within the denomination and from the national group Soul Force. They responded by kneeling on the sidewalk outside the convention center and refusing police orders to move. Each of the 48 was fined $100 and released. Activists take heart, though, that by a narrow margin, the denomination elected a very gay-supportive leader.
Also wrestling with recognition of gay and lesbian couples is the state of Massachusetts. Religious conservatives are trying to place before voters a constitutional amendment against same-gender marriages, a move which activists and some liberal politicians are seeking to block. Republican Governor Jane Swift has consistently maintained that marriage should be reserved for heterosexual couples. She was publicly criticized for that position this week by her openly gay stepson, Brian Hunt, who currently lives in California. Swift denied his charges of hypocrisy, but announced afterwards that her administration had extended a few domestic partner benefits to some of the state's civil servants, and that similar benefits would be extended to other state workers in the course of contract negotiations over the next few years. The benefits do not include health insurance, which would require a vote by the state legislature, but provide for leave in the event of a partner's illness or death, and for support for victims of domestic violence.
A Texas gay man, sentenced to death for the 1983 murder of his ex-lover, won a new chance to live this week. The case of Calvin Burdeen won national attention because his court-appointed attorney was asleep for portions of the trial. That attorney made no objection to inflammatory use of anti-gay slurs by the prosecution. Burdeen has admitted to going to his former partner's trailer on the night of the murder, but insists that it was another man who went with him who did the stabbing. That man was released after 8 years in a plea bargain that included his testifying against Burdeen. In 1999, Burdeen won a federal trial judge's order to release or retry him. But last year, a panel of the Fifth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals decided 2-1 to uphold his conviction and death sentence on the grounds that there was no way to prove that the parts of the trial his attorney slept through had been significant. Burdeen then appealed to the full bench of the same court, which ruled 9-5 this week that he had been inadequately represented and overturned his conviction. State prosecutors must now decide whether to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, hold a new criminal trial for Burdeen, negotiate a plea bargain with him, or release him.
The U.S. nationwide manhunt for a suspected spree killer preying on gay men ended with his arrest this week in Reno, Nevada. 19-year-old Adam Ezerski will be extradited to Florida to be prosecuted for the late July murders of two gay men there, Irving Sisherer and Anthony Martellotto. He's also suspected of attacking another gay man in San Francisco earlier this week.
Czech police acted quickly this week to arrest and charge two of eight skinhead youth who attacked a gay club in the Bohemian town of Liberec. Although the skinheads failed in their attempt to force their way into the club, they did about 10,000 korunas worth of damage to its door and windows. The two arrestees, ages 15 and 18 years, are charged with supporting and promoting a movement aimed to suppress the rights and freedoms of citizens, which carries a maximum penalty of 5 years imprisonment.
Britain's Scotland Yard this week issued new guidelines for London's Metropolitan Police employees to behave more sensitively towards lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgenders. The new Policing Diversity Handbook, a year in the making, was welcomed by the Lesbian and Gay Police Association. It calls on staff to question and challenge, wherever possible, the myths and stereotypes of LGBT communities. Most widely reported was the handbook's rejection of the word homosexual, which it said is a medical term used to criminalize lesbians, gay men, and bisexuals in the 19th century. It recommends that the term should generally be avoided, while noting that some older lesbi-gay people may describe themselves this way.
And finally, the flamboyant gay character Jack on NBC's hit gay-led sitcom Will and Grace is remarkably self-centered. But not so the actor, who's won an Emmy for playing him. Sean B. Hayes stopped to help a man he saw lying on the ground as he drove through Los Angeles this week. The man had been shot in the leg by two men attempting to rob him outside his home. Hayes took off his own shirt and pressed it to the bleeding wound until an ambulance arrived. Hayes, who's grown increasingly coy about discussing his own sexual orientation since he first drew notice for his starring gay role in the film Billy's Hollywood Screen Kiss, has tried to minimize publicity about the incident. So it took about 5 days for word to get around.
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 18th, 2001. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Dean Elzinga.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
From Baltimore to Buenos Aires, from Tokyo to Tampa, there will be over 100 gay and lesbian film festivals around the world this year. The largest of these cinematic celebrations was July's Outfest in Los Angeles. This Way Out's Steve Pride was there to get the inside story on some of the films that might well be on their way to a theater near you.
Last month's Outfest boasted 231 films and videos from 23 countries. It took 12 days and covered 9 venues. It was even possible to have a great time without seeing a single film. The festival boasted not only seminars and lots of parties, this year there was something special.
This is Shari Freelo, co-director of festival programming for Outfest. This year, what's different? What am I excited about? There's actually one big new thing. It is a section that will happen every year called Platinum Oasis. It is a performance-based 18-hour durational arts fest. We're taking over the historic Coral Sands Motel and filling all 40 rooms with different performance artists.
Come on.
What's this room all about?
We are the diaper room and we're the mommies. We're here so you can find your inner child. And if you need any nurturing, any healing, that's what us mommies are here for. We are about nurturing and caring and loving.
You never punish your children.
Oh, no, we do have a stern hand now and then. A little spank on a little bare buttocks is always good.
Hi, I'm Crystal DeAngora, and we are the Barbie Torture Playhouse.
I notice this is a Ken-free zone.
Well, yeah, it's not that Ken isn't allowed to come. It's just that he's hanging out in some of the other playrooms. You know what I mean? You know.
I think I do.
Hello, I'm Vaginal Davis, and my installation is Topping from the Bottom Room, and then a video room up there of my favorite videos of my friends and some of mine. And I'm the hostess tonight, and I love it here at the famous, world-famous Coral Sands. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bruce Livers. In about 15 minutes, we have a porn model coming, and he's going to be posing naked on the bed, and I'm going to photograph him. And then after that, people can pay $5 and get posed with blood spattered on them on the bed and get a Polaroid taken of themselves.
Hi. Hi, what's this installation about? Who are you?
Installation? We live here. We've been here for 2 weeks on our honeymoon. My son just showed up, and then all these freaks come in.
My name is Divinity Fudge, and I'm basically doing a funky nail salon. If you want to get your nails done, get a little pampering, that's what I'm doing. Also, massage after midnight.
Do you work at the Coral Sands?
Yes.
Do you work here? Is this the most unusual thing that's ever happened here?
Business as usual.
Boys will be boys. That's what the fables tell.
But of course, the real reason to have a film festival is to watch a lot of movies.
Boys can be men as well. While we're scouting, 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 there is danger.
My name is Tom Shepard, and I'm from San Francisco, California, originally from Colorado Springs. And the film that I am presenting here at Outfest is Scout's Honor. Scout's Honor is about the anti-gay policy of the Boy Scouts of America and people who have stepped forward to challenge it, and in particular a 12-year-old boy from Petaluma, California, who launched a petition drive back in 1998 in his hometown of Petaluma. And really that movement has grown into a national campaign to overturn the ban on gays in the Boy Scouts of America. Petaluma, California is kind of an Everytown USA, very Norman Rockwell-ish in a certain way. And, you know, I read this article 3.5 years ago about this 12-year-old boy who was launching this petition drive at his local Lucky's grocery store. And as a filmmaker, I was just incredulous. What would motivate a 12-year-old straight boy and his straight family to take on this huge monolithic organization? And went up and met them and just was really impressed on the spot with their level of conviction. And they led me to Dave Rice, who is a 70-year-old scouter, been involved since the 1930s, Mr. Scout, essentially, from Petaluma. And he had joined forces with the Koza family, and we got our cameras out and started filming. I mean, right around that time is when the legal cases of Tim Curran and James Dale were really picking up steam. Tim Curran had just lost after 17 years in litigation with the Boy Scouts in the state of California. James Dale had just won, first time really, against the Boy Scouts in the state of New Jersey. And so it was kind of with that backdrop, the context of those legal cases, that I began following the story of Stephen Koza.
We are the new women working together.
This is Todd Hughes. I'm the writer and director of a new feature film called The New Women, which stars Mary Warnoff, Amy Hill, Jenny Shimizu, Cheryl Dunier, and a cast of over 100 women. The New Women is basically about women taking over the world. What we do is set up the sexual politics in a small town where women clearly haven't come a long way, baby. And then a mysterious rainstorm comes along and literally puts everyone in the entire world to sleep. And slowly but surely, the women start waking up, but the men never do. So women sort of have it upon themselves to rebuild society. The men do get erections every 45 minutes, which add to the complications. But Mary Warnoff plays this meek housewife who sort of overcomes her low self-esteem and leads a group of women in search of this place called Elysium, which is supposed to be a female utopia they hear about on the radio. Everyone in the film was a friend. People say, who's your casting director? And we say, my address book. Every part was written pretty much for whoever was going to play it. Jenny Shimizu and I have been friends for about 12 years. She was actually in my first film, Ding Dong. It's funny because we were waiters together, and I called her one day and I said, hey, Jenny, I need you to fix my car. And someone picked up the phone and said, Jenny's gone to New York. So I was like, well, do you know when she'll be back? And they were like, no. And I went out and picked up Us Magazine and found out she'd become a supermodel. So...
Hi, my name is Rose Trochet. I am a filmmaker, the co-writer and director of Go Fish, director of Bedrooms and Hallways, and most recently the writer, director, co-editor, co-producer of The Safety of Objects.
Well, let's start with the old stuff. Go Fish is like the classic lesbian film. Do you feel like you've made a classic? Do you feel that old?
Oh, it makes me feel like a grandma, and I have age issues already, so it's very weird. Because I actually do feel like, oh my God, I'm a has-been, like in this way that it marked a moment that no filmmaker could ever anticipate. No one can ever make anything to be what Go Fish was. It was out of my control. I didn't set out to do that. It happened by itself. It was a moment in time.
Hi, I'm Paul Lukakis from the Movie Circuit, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
My name is Sandy Simchud Dubowski. And I'm the director of Trembling Before God. Trembling Before God is a feature-length documentary about Hasidim and Orthodox Jews who are lesbian or gay. It's shot over 5 years in Brooklyn, L.A., Miami, London, Jerusalem, and San Francisco. I call this a Mount Everest of documentary. This was an almost impossible documentary to make, A, because people were completely closeted, and B, because so many of the rituals and the core meaning of an Orthodox life are unfilmable. Shabbat, the Sabbath, you can't film. So it was also finding creative aesthetic strategies to bring the holiness of religious life onto cinema. This is really almost like a collective prayer. There are people who've been kicked out of religious schools and thrown out of their families, and they're in marriages where they're betraying their husbands and wives. It's clear that there's a lot of deep pain and suffering, and my goal is for this film to alleviate that pain and to give, for the first time, a mass collective public voice for this worldwide diaspora.
My name is Charles Herman Wormfeld, and I'm the director of Kissing Jessica Stein. It's a romantic comedy. It's a love story. It's a story of a couple of girls, straight girls, who are best friends, and they basically are having dating disasters with men and eventually decide to try and get together. Jessica's a straight woman, and she, like many straight people do, dares to, and some people don't, some straight people don't, but dares to experiment with her sexuality.
I'm Randall Klauser, the director of Grease. I've been coming to Outfest for about 3 years now, and I think this is the best year so far. There's many more people. The competition for the slots is higher, so the films are better. This festival is the state of the art of gay and lesbian films, and I don't know, they seem to be slightly more conservative this year, but slicker.
Hi, I'm Joe Treeboiser, the writer and the producer of Friends and Family, a movie that's showing at this year's Outfest, Outfest 2001.
And what is Friends and Family about?
It's a comedy, kind of an ensemble cast. It centers around a gay male couple who are enforcers for the mafia.
I'm Andreas Struck, and I'm the director of Chill Out, a feature film, my first feature film. And the film is about a love and friendship story between a gay guy who falls in love with a woman, and they share one lover. It's a triangle, and it's playing in Berlin. So it's also at the same time kind of a portrait of Berlin as I see it, because I live there.
Silas Flipper, and I'm a co-director, co-writer, and co-star of By Hook or By Crook, which is a feature film. This is a queer buddy movie. The two main characters are definitely very gender fluid. Why we also originally started to do this film is that there was all this great progress made with lesbian and gay film, and it's just like an ever-growing and a really exciting time to watch it evolve. And still, you know, a lot of like a butch look or sort of transgendered look, although we identify kind of in between the two, isn't really a passing look. I think it's important just because it's yet another face put on the screen, and the camera's gaze is such a big deal in this society as a way for like anybody to see themselves up there is a phenomenal thing to experience.
Dirk Schaefer, and the movie's name is Circuit. Circuit's about the underground gay party scene. It's sort of an ensemble. It's mainly about one guy and his coming to Los Angeles to live in a more openly gay lifestyle and what he falls into this underground party scene and the characters that he meets and how he comes out the other end. It's about the light and the dark side of the gay circuit party scene. Of course, I'd like for the audience to take out of it, you know, what they would like, and everyone have a different experience. But I see issues in here of gay people and their own self-esteem and our obsession with youth and beautiful bodies. And there's this whole culture that we have right now with the music and the gym. And it brings out all those issues and how we feel about ourselves and how we treat others in the gay community and the fear of aging. You know, I have one character in the movie. Every single character makes at least one comment about age, either about growing old or I'm not that old, or, you know, when I was your age, or, you know, everyone makes a comment about it because I think it's something the gay community is obsessed with and I see everywhere. Maybe I'm seeing it more because I live in L.A., but I think it's an issue.
This is Steve Pride in Los Angeles for This Way Out. We're talking to gay and lesbian filmmakers at Outfest 2001.
Hi, my name is Dominic Barasha. I am the director, writer, and star, also producer of My Life as a Troll, a feature that looks at can straight guys and gay guys really be friends. You know, the film's about a comedian who's chubby who comes out to his friends, and the concept that the straight world has of gay people is, and you grow up, you think it's true, you think, well, if you're gay, you just call up a gay buddy and say, hey, you're a guy, I'm a guy, let's just have sex. So the straight world has a warped view of what being gay is about. And in the film, some of the straight friends take this character Louis and they try to set him up. Now Louis's a chubby guy, and they bring him to all the clubs, and in the clubs the straight guys who are like built like Adonis's, perfect shape, muscles, who are straight, they all get hit on, and Louis is called a troll, and Louis kind of starts to accept that self-image that maybe he's a troll and he's not good enough. So not only is Louis have to accept that he's different because he's gay, and when he finally accepts that he's gay, you know, that's a big achievement, but then he's not even good enough to be gay. You know what I mean? He's not. You might be able to be accepted if you're gay and thin and good looking and look like, you know, Mr. Hunk. But if you're gay and you're chubby and not that attractive, that's a whole other set of circumstances.
My name is Jeff Jenkins. I'm the writer, director, producer of Play Dead. Play Dead is about a high school student, a drama geek, who loses his virginity to a corpse.
My name is Todd Stevens. I wrote and directed the film Gypsy 83. I also wrote and produced a movie called Edge of 17 a couple years ago. So this Gypsy is kind of the second in a trilogy of films that I'm planning to do about being different in my small town of Sandusky, Ohio. The new film is also set in the same town. It's about a woman named Gypsy who's in her mid-20s, kind of lost. She works at a photo mat in a Kroger's parking lot. And her best friend, Clive, is a gay goth boy. The two kids, they just don't fit in at all in their hometown. They're different. And they yearn to... She wants to be a rock and roll star. He doesn't know what he wants to do, but just knows he wants to get out of there. She is obsessed with Stevie Nicks, and they hear on the internet about this club, Mother, that has this yearly event called Night of a Thousand Stevies, where everybody dresses up and performs as Stevie Nicks for a night. So they decide to run away and take a road trip to New York City to go to that event so that she performs at that event, so... It's all about following your dreams and trying to find a place to fit in, really.
This is Dan Castle from Jeux de Fête Films, and we're just checking out films this year. We don't have any films in it this year that we picked up or have made. We're in the process of making two films right now. One's a documentary about Mexico City gay life, and the other one is a short fiction that we're going to shoot in Australia. And we're going to go see Circuit right now. I think it's going to be pretty good. I'm actually in it. A cameo, which is fun.
What's the state of gay films these days?
I think it's in a big transition because of the Queer as Folk onslaught. I think that show has really raised the bar in a lot of ways in terms of production value and the money being spent on gay entertainment. And a lot of gay films are very under budgeted, so they can't really compete visually or casting wise. And you can tell the difference. There's what I'm talking about is the average gay film. The average gay film is not as good as, or as entertaining as an episode of Queer as Folk to most people. Not to myself, but to most people. So therefore, the market share is a little bit of trouble right now, I think.
Does it help or hurt that every other television show seems to have a gay sidekick or a gay secondary character or something?
Well, it's hard to say. I think it's great for gay culture. I think it's great that we've infiltrated mainstream TV and primetime television, but I think it's infringing upon the market. I mean, people want to watch TV. They can watch a gay character on TV. They can see themselves represented on TV. 15 years ago, they couldn't. So therefore, if they wanted to see a good depiction of themselves and their community, they had to go to the theaters, either live or movie. Now they can, watch TV. What I hope is that it will challenge filmmakers to make better films and raise the bar artistically.
For a list of gay and lesbian film festivals around the world, point your internet browser to planetout.com. Click on Popcorn Q, then Film Festivals. For This Way Out, this has been Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Dean Alzinga, Graham Underhill, Chris Ambidge, Jason Lynn, Ryan Nunes, Rex Walkner, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can also hear This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on Multimedia, then on Radio. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world. For an urgent message about This Way Out's critical financial situation, please visit our webpage at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on CJSF Burnaby, British Columbia, KEOS College Station, Texas, WPSU University Park, Pennsylvania, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.